My name is Angela Hornsby, and I'm speaking with the Reverend Johnny Goder at his office at United Pentecostal Church in Durham, North Carolina. The date is April 13, 1999, and we're here to discuss, and we're here as part of the Southern Oral History Program's New Immigrants Project. And if you could just state your full name for me, please.
Johnny Goder, Johnny Philip Goder.
Okay, and when and where were you born?
7/14/1940 in Portageville, Missouri.
Were you named after someone in your family?
No, I think one of my relatives was John, so and one of my uncles, so they named me Johnny. But okay. That's probably the closest to
okay. it. Just wondering if you could tell me a little bit about your family history, your grandparents, your parents.
All came from the state of Missouri, mm-hmm. all of them. My father's mother and dad lived in Missouri. Many years. Finally moved to California in the later years of their life. My mother's mother is still living. She's 94. Mm-hmm. My grandfather on my mother's side has been dead for several years. Mm-hmm. That was pretty well their background all the way back to the turn of the last century in Missouri.
Can you give me a sense of what they did?
A lot of them were involved in my growing up years in farming, mostly in farming. Mm-hmm. They were living on the farm as farmers.
Mm-hmm. Were any of them involved in the ministry?
No, not any of in my past they weren't. Now, presently, in the immediate family now, my brother is pastor in Burlington. I have a nephew that pastors in Salisbury, North Carolina. I have some other relatives, but not like grandparents or mm-hmm. uncles and so on. My father is still pastor of a church in Missouri. Mm-hmm. He's 79 years old. Wow.
Can you give me a sense of your upbringing, what that was like?
Just being raised on a farm, basic upbringing in a farm home, working on the farm, household chores, and attending just a country school. That was my basic upbringing.
Was religion important in your family?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Could you describe
yes,
a little bit
my,
of that for
my
me.
Father became a minister when I was about 8 or 9 years old, and so we constantly were involved in church and in the work of the church and so on from the time I was about 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any siblings?
I have 2 children.
Any brothers or sisters?
One of my brothers and sisters. Siblings. Okay, I'm sorry. yes, I have 3 brothers. I have no sisters. Okay. 3 brothers. One brother is 3 years older than me. One is 10 years younger than me, and one is about 15 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. So it's 4 boys stretched out over several years.
Are they also involved in the ministry?
I have 1 brother that is, pastor in Burlington.
Okay. I was wondering if you could now tell me sort of when and under what circumstances did you come to North Carolina?
Came to North Carolina 26 years ago. Mm-hmm. In fact, I came here to start this local church. There wasn't a United Pentecostal Church in Durham, so I came here to start this local church 26 years ago.
Okay, could you kind of describe a little bit, did you come here expressly for the purpose?
That's what I came for.
Okay.
That and that only.
Did you know anyone here
no,
when you came?
I didn't know one person in Durham.
Why Durham?
Because I felt led of the Lord in prayer to come to Durham. It was strictly the leading of the Lord.
Even though you had no relatives here?
Not at all. None of the whole state.
Interesting.
I had no relatives in the whole state. I have a brother that's come and some relatives that's come since then. But I had no relatives. I didn't know anybody in Durham. And I really didn't know but a few people in the whole state of North Carolina.
How old were you when you came down?
32.
And do you remember what year that was?
1973.
Just sort of backtracking a little bit, can you give me a sense of your school experience?
I went to Portageville, Missouri, which is a small school, and graduated from Portageville High School in 1958. Mm-hmm. Then I have some not secular education, but strictly in Bible school through Texas Bible College, but no college or university experience. Mm-hmm. Strictly ministerial experience.
Okay. So before starting the church here, had you been involved in any other churches?
Yes. We started two churches in Missouri over a period of 11 years.
Okay. And could you describe the sort of ethnic makeup of those churches?
I was in a small town that was predominantly white. We were the first church in that city that became, way back in the 60s, became integrated. And we had blacks, and mainly blacks. And there wasn't many Spanish there, or there wasn't many other people there. Small town. It was mainly the white population, black population. Mm-hmm. We were the first church in that city to, in the small town of 6,000 people.
Wow. And what year was this?
1960. I started in 1962. Mm-hmm. 1962. It stayed until 73. So we were there 11 years.
Wow. Could you give me a sense of, just in terms of your perception of race relations, what was the situation like growing up, for example? Did you interact with a lot of people of different races back then?
Not a lot, because like I say, on the farm there was basically just the white and black mm-hmm. folk. That was basically it. There wasn't really any other, in that farm area, it wasn't like a city or mm-hmm. big town or something. That was basically it. There wasn't people from other countries, nationalities, and mm-hmm. so on. It wasn't there.
So was it then here in Durham that you sort of first encountered Latino?
Yes. I came up in Durham, became more of an outreach into every aspect of the community. Mm-hmm. We have black folk in our church. We have Spanish folks. We have a Spanish service every week strictly for the Spanish. On a recent Sunday morning, we had 9 different countries represented in our church. So we are an ethnic church. We are a church where I think everybody feels comfortable.
Sort of going back to the church in the small town, was it important for you to have an integrated ministry? What benefits did you see coming from that?
My main benefits is not from a social standpoint. My main thrust has always been that everybody's equal, everybody's the same. I preach the gospel to everybody, so that's my thrust, is to just love people and preach the gospel. It wasn't with any other motivation. It wasn't a social situation. It was strictly that I view everybody the same, and I'm going to preach the gospel to anybody that will mm-hmm. let me preach the gospel.
I was wondering if you could describe for me a little bit about the Latino service. When did that start?
It started about 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
And we started on Thursday night, which was a night we did not have a regular scheduled service. And we started out with just a few, and now then we have about 100 or so.
Wow. Are there 100, so there are 100 Latino...
Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Spanish.
They are from Mexico, they are from El Salvador, they are from Nicaragua, mm-hmm. they are from Panama. They're from... Mainly Central America, Mexico, Central America.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically where a lot of them are from.
Mm-hmm. And you also have African American members as well.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I have an African American young pastor here, works with me. Our African American people in the choir, ushers, they're involved. The point that we make is that there's no difference. Mm-hmm. We just try to treat everybody the same. So whoever we can reach, we witness to, we talk to, anybody that comes, we preach the gospel to them, we love them just the same. It mm-hmm. doesn't make a difference.
How would you characterize race relations in Durham in the 26 years that you've been here?
I've seen the good and bad.
Could you give me a little sense of that?
I haven't been involved that much in any problem areas, mm-hmm. but I've observed that quite a bit in Durham, it's got its racial problems, I think. Mm-hmm. In the church, I really haven't had any problems. I don't let it ever be a problem. If we have people that are prejudiced, they usually will change their viewpoint or go somewhere else.
Mm.
Because we are going to reach out into every area of the community, and we're not going to... regard a person's skin or their language or whatever. And if people don't feel comfortable with that, they wouldn't feel comfortable in our church.
Mm. How would you assess relationships between your Spanish members and your African American members.
No problem whatsoever. Mm-hmm. We are starting, in fact, this week, a class of teaching Spanish to the English and teaching English to the Spanish.
Nice.
So we're starting a class. We have about 60 enrolled in one class and about 20-something in another class. So I think the feeling is good. There's really no problem. I haven't viewed it. I haven't seen a problem.
In talking with other church people in other congregations, they've talked about this mistrust that's still there between African Americans and Latino Americans. Do you get a sense of that at all? I know you spoke of some...
In the community, I've seen some problems. I've never seen it in the church. In the church that I pastor, I haven't seen problems.
What type of problems in the community have you seen?
Oh, just you observe racial feelings from time to time. I think mm-hmm. everybody sees that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we'll be honest, I think we all see some of that. Mm-hmm. But it really hasn't been a problem in the church I pastor. Never really had a problem.
Could you give me one specific example in the community where you've seen that?
Well, as far as what I have seen, I mean, I might not name a specific thing, but I've seen several cases through the years where I thought there were racial feelings that should not have been there. Mm-hmm. In talking to people and communicating with people mm-hmm. and listening to their conversations and what they have to say and the gist of their conversation, mm-hmm. you can pick up feelings.
Has this taken the form of stereotypes, would you say? Specific stereotypes of one race against the other?
To be honest, I've seen racial prejudice in the white community. I've also seen the black community. And I have many, many wonderful black folk that are members of our church. And they tell me from time to time that they see that. Some of them have told me that some of their own black friends do not like the fact they come to a church where there's a white pastor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I've encountered white folks that didn't want to go to church where there were black folks.
Right.
And my feeling is that's what we're going to do here. And if this doesn't suit you and you don't feel comfortable with this, you'd be better off doing something else.
Do you feel that these classes, which are going to start up soon, and the Spanish church service has helped in some way forge better cultural understanding between Latinos, whites, and
I think so, yeah. It has given us all a better understanding of each other. I think it's been good for us.
Can you give me an example?
Well, just in the not really where I can just say, but in the constant flow of our church and people and the interaction of the members, I think it has definitely given us all and all of our church members better understanding of the other person, mm-hmm. of whoever they may be.
You mentioned that the service having started 4 or 5 years ago. Is that the sort of the starting point where you notice ethnic changes in terms of Latinos?
No, that's just when we felt the need that there were so many coming that we into this area that we needed to put forth a concerted effort. Mm-hmm. Quite a few of them cannot speak English, so consequently we felt the need to have a service in Spanish mm-hmm. where they can relate to. Mm-hmm. We do every service in our church is interpreted for the Spanish. They use headsets and somebody's in the balcony relating everything that's said and done to them. But they do like it better when you don't have to go through an interpreter. It's nice. Direct.
Okay.
And I can understand.
In your opinion, what constitutes a strong community?
A strong community? Mm-hmm. It's where everybody gains mutual respect and understanding for each other. Mm-hmm. I think that constitutes a strong community.
And what kind of community would you like future generations, your grandchildren?
I think just a community where everybody learns that even though we are not the same, and we may have cultural differences and backgrounds that are different, yet we learn to value and to appreciate each other for who we are and what mm-hmm. we are. And I think in that type of climate, everybody can get along. And we can understand that we don't have to be the same language to care for each other. We don't have to be the same color skin. We don't have to have the same backgrounds.
Do you think that's a lesson that the wider outside of these church walls could learn to appreciate?
Definitely.
Do you think that's going to take time?
It will take time, as I view it. I think there is progress being made.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's progress being made. But I think it's going to take more time. I really do to really bring to fruition what you'd like to see. It'll mm-hmm. take time. I don't think there's any substitute for time. It's not going to happen just overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take time.
Okay, I'm coming to a close.
And educating people. I think it'll take time, and we, you know, educating people of what, of how to get along with each other, and how to appreciate each other, and how to feel toward each other, even though we're not exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to be the same. We don't have to be the same color, the same language, the same personality, the same backgrounds. And this is what we preach in this church, is that we all come from varied backgrounds, but we learn to get along with each other. Some have very little, some have more.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make us some kind of a special individual in the sight of God. If mm-hmm. we have a little more, or perhaps we're a different color skin, God loves us all the same.
I think that's a very important point.
That, to me, is very
important. Mm-hmm. Coming to a close here, since I know your time is short.
It's all right. I'm okay.
Thanks.
I'm okay.
Do you get a sense that we talked about sort of appreciating differences between different races, but do you have a sense that Spanish, whatever term is applicable, and African Americans share certain commonalities?
I think they do, in the sense that probably in the sense that the white race has been the larger and predominant race in America, population-wise, although it's my understanding now that that it's coming to the place where the white race will not be the majority. There will be enough other groups that, for example, right now, I was preaching in California recently, and they said that whites are not the majority in California. It's maybe 48 or 49% of the entire state is white. So I think we're coming to that. We're coming to a broader sense of understanding in the world that we live in, that that we didn't have 10 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. I think the world's getting smaller,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that we're understanding that it's not just one race or just one group of people.
Mm-hmm.
In the old South, You know, the things I hear and the things I read and things I understand about it, you just stayed with your people and that was about it.
Right.
But in today's world, I think we're gaining understanding that that's not going to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
It will never go back or revert back to the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's good.
What impact, sort of beyond this church, have you seen that the Latino population has created for Durham? Either what changes?
I think most of them that come here that we're in contact with, and we've got some that are common laborers, farm laborers. We got some with doctor degrees in our church. I think they face a difficulty, people looking at them and not really, how would I say this, not really understanding their past and their background as Spanish-speaking people. And maybe some of them do not understand the language. They have a hard time. For example, we got a lady that comes to church that has a degree and came from a very well-educated family and pretty high in social standing in Guatemala.
Mm-hmm.
Right. When they get here, they had to leave the country. There were some problems and there were some internal fightings a few years ago. They came here. It's almost like starting all over.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's what I've observed.
Mm-hmm.
Good education, good understanding, smart people. But coming here, she started all over cleaning houses and doing menial tasks. But now that she's learned to speak English and so on, she has a good position. So things are good. But coming here, it's starting all over.
Absolutely.
You know. And the way I view it, even she's highly educated, and I have some in the church that are not educated, hardly any.
Mm-hmm.
And they're common laborers. They do carpentry work. They do field work. They do farm work, this type of thing. But all of them, as I observe it, in a sense, have the sense of starting all over.
Is there any particular area that you've noticed where Spanish families have congregated Have you found that a lot of families tend to live in the same areas?
Yeah. We bring quite a few to church out here by South Square. Out behind Darrell's, there's hundreds of them in apartments out there. And we've had open-air services out there. We've checked with the apartment owners and the police, and they have endorsed us to do that. And we've had services, and that one kit in one place, there's almost 2,000 Spanish people.
Wow.
They do congregate in certain areas. And then we bring several Spanish from up in the northern part of Durham toward Roxborough.
Mm-hmm.
And there's quite a few of them that congregate there. So I think they have a tendency to do so, and that's where they feel more comfortable, in the sense of being around their own people. They speak their own language. They get out here among some like me who don't speak Spanish, and they have a hard time relating. And some that I preach to every week, if it wasn't for an interpreter, they wouldn't know a thing I'm saying. We'd have problems. And so that's why, as a pastor, I'm interested in learning the Spanish language, at least where I can get by. I'm going to attend the classes also, because I've never learned the Spanish language, but I want to, enough to communicate at least. I may never become real proficient in speaking the Spanish language, but I will learn enough that I can communicate, and that's what I want to be able to do.
Do you get a sense that other churches in this area have been as responsive as this has been?
I think there's a few. I don't think all of them are.
Yes.
I think some are just kind of set in their ways, and they're going to go ahead and do what they've always done.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some that I've heard of that are opening up to various cultures and backgrounds and races and to the Spanish in particular that you're asking. Yes, I've heard of some that do. But not all. I don't think it's a majority.
Mm-hmm.
I think the majority do not. But more and more.
Yeah, so how do you feel about that?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Very good.
Okay.
I like to see it.
What future challenges do you see in the future in regards to Latino immigration in this area? As it regards your church, as it regards Durham?
I think more and more the people need to be educated on the background of the Spanish people, some of their cultural background. The more we know about them, the better we're going to be able to relate to them and assimilate them into the community to become a vital part of the community, not just someone that you would look upon as those are Spanish people and they're from somewhere else, but as we understand them better and communicate with them more, I think it's very important that they learn the English language and that we learn their language.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very important. Otherwise, you're going to always, if you don't do that, you're always going to have them into a segregated position where they only will be able to relate to the ones that speak their language. Actually, if I go up to you and I start speaking and you don't understand the thing I'm saying, we've got communication.
Absolutely.
So I think it's very important that they learn the English language, but secondly, I think it's very important that we learn their language. And a lot of our, of course, it's being taught in a lot of our schools,
yes,
and high schools and colleges, and more people are learning communication. And that's good.
Are there any other needs in the Latino community? Fostering better communication is important. Are there any other needs that you see in the Spanish community that you can address as a church body?
As a church body, I think we can help them language-wise. We can help them socially. We can assimilate them into our churches, make them a part of our people. And a lot of our people have really accepted that as a challenge. And and many of our folk have helped them to get jobs. Some of our people who own small businesses have hired them. And all of this, I think, perpetuates a better feeling and a better understanding.
You really seem to be a model that other churches and even communities in Durham could emulate. Has there been sort of opportunities for this type of exchange, for a type of dialogue, either with other churches or...
We've had some churches talk to us in as much as we have. We have been a racially mixed church, not divided, but mixed, ever since from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first Sunday we was here, we had seven. My family of four and three more people.
Mm-hmm.
And on about the fourth Sunday, we had four blacks to attend. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, we have been a racially mixed church.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of your churches then, as well as some even now, were not. And I've had several pastors talk to me about how does it work, how do you assimilate them in. I've given them a good positive report. It really hasn't been a problem here. And I think if you look at it as anticipating problems, that's what you'll have.
That's a good point.
Even Jesus taught us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you look for problems, you'll find them. But if you look for good, positive ways and creative ways to get along and to mix together, you have that. And so consequently, we have blacks in our choir, we have black minister with our staff, we have blacks as ushers, we have black Sunday school teachers teaching white children, and I don't hear of any problem whatsoever. But from time to time, we address these things in the pulpit, that we are, that the love of God would cause us to love everybody the same, and that we would never judge somebody because of the language they speak or the color of their skin. And that is the message we try to get across constantly. And even with the Spanish-speaking people, from the very beginning, we've tried to reach out to them, and now having classes to learn more of their language, and not only their language, but to learn more about them as people.
Absolutely.
That's it.
This is an extremely optimistic message, and it seems like you've done a lot to try to foster more cultural understanding.
I'd say every week we probably have 300 blacks in our service.
Nice.
We probably have over 100 Spanish, as well as we've got a few people from Russia. We've got some from other European countries. We've got some from some of the nations in Africa that have recently come to Durham, and so we minister every week to about 1,200 people.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 300, I'm going to guess, 300 blacks, 100 plus Spanish, probably 700-800 white folk, and then the others are a mixture of some other countries and nationalities.
And your black congregants, are they from around this area?
Most of them are.
Okay.
We do get some that come, that have come in the area from that have come here to college and so on, from some of the African nations and so on. And, recently, we had a couple of start coming from Nigeria. They were not too long removed from Nigeria. We have several Egyptian families that come to our church, and they are from Cairo and Alexandria, Egypt, and they do speak English, and they have been in the country for a while. They came to New York and Florida, and then they finally migrated to Durham.
That's amazing.
Some of them are in business, some of them own restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 15 to 20 from the nation of Egypt that come here every week.
It's amazing.
They're part of our church.
And these black congregants, are they long-time
Durham
residents?
Most of them
residents?
Are long-time Durham residents.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, though, you've seen no difficulty sort of in their assimilation to their new neighbors, Latinos.
We haven't really had a problem. If there's been one, I haven't heard of it.
Okay.
As far as I know, it's flowed smoothly. But I think a lot of that is in the attitude of our people.
Huh.
That is the key, the attitude of your church.
How do you foster that attitude? Is it through the just biblical teachings? And
teaching and preaching and in classes and individual classes and then just in conversation. You know, we foster that kind of spirit. We teach that the love of God is colorblind.
Hmm.
That is, to me, is very important. And we've talked that up from the very beginning. And like I say, there have been some. We had some almost in the very beginning. We only had 30 people. We had some that didn't like it because we had some black folks come.
Are these white?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I just told them in a nice way, then if you don't feel comfortable with that, then you probably feel better, more comfortable to go somewhere else to church. I mean, my job is not to run people off. My job is to bring people in.
Absolutely.
However, you cannot allow attitudes and spirits to come into the church that is going to, in effect, defeat the purpose of what you're trying to do. And so if they're going to have that attitude, and they're going to talk that among the people, then it's going to be a disruptive situation in your church, which you really don't need. You know, church doesn't need disruption. It needs cohesiveness and unity, brotherhood.
I think this is a wonderful attitude that you have concerning race.
That's always been my attitude. Like I say, the church that I pastor in Missouri, a small town where Durham has a lot of churches. There was only 30-something churches in the town. We were the very first ones that had black folk to attend the service. And by the time I left, and by the way, that church is still going strong, and some of the people that became members when I was there are still members today.
Nice.
And I preached back there, and the church was started 37 years ago. And I preached there 4 months ago, and there's a black man named Floyd Higgs, who became a member when I was there. He is now one of the trustees of that church.
Wow.
And so it just,
that's nice.
It started something that still flows to this day. There's no problem.
And this wonderful attitude that you have, did you get that from coming up?
Not really. It's something that, you know, I was brought up in a climate of where white and black folk were in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
I really was. in my childhood, the 40s,
yes.
early 50s. I was brought up in that kind of climate. But as a teenager, I began, and I went to high school, there wasn't one black person in my high school. There wasn't one Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a stereotyped all-white high school back in the 50s.
Yes.
But I began to realize that this was not the will of God. And so I felt a call to go into the ministry in the late 50s. My entire attitude had a transformation.
Interesting.
And I began to realize that this was not the will of God, that churches just segregate themselves into their own little cliques and groups and colors.
Wonderful. Is there anything that we haven't touched upon that you would like to add about anything that we've discussed?
I just think that we need to educate people, both publicly and privately and in classes and so on, about other people, because like I say, we live in a world that's getting smaller every day.
Mm-hmm.
Communication is tremendous. A lot of aspects of that. But I think we need to educate people in all of our churches about the generation that we're living in now and about future generations. I have 4 grandchildren, and they'll be raised up in a different climate than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's good. Both of my son-in-laws are pastors now, one in Reedsville and one in Asheville, and they already have blacks, they have Spanish in their churches. My daughter is personally taking a van and picking up 15 people every week in Asheville from the Ukraine.
Wow.
From over in the old Russian republics of USSR, from the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Sunday before Easter, she had 20-something that she personally went to get from the Ukraine.
Wow.
So they already have. In young churches, smaller churches, they have blacks, they have Spanish, they have a mixed congregation, and so it really isn't a problem. But it's in the way you view it.
Yes.
It's in your attitude.
Okay, one last question. Do you think that churches are the key to fostering better?
I think it's part of it. I really do. I think the churches can really have a positive influence if they'll view it that way. Churches, I'm not suggesting it's the only thing that can, but it can really make a difference in the community. The churches can.
Well, I want to thank you very much. I know you have a really busy schedule, but this has been very insightful, and I've appreciated your thoughts.
Thank you. It's been good to visit with you and talk with you, and I hope that we can all, as our lives progress, live to see the day when there are good and mutual feelings among us all.
Thank you.